Welcome to the Shame Free Zone with Veronica Monet, your friendly former sex worker and certified sexologist. The Shame Free Zone is a safe place for your questions and your secrets about all things sexual.
Thanks for joining us tonight. My guest is Dr. Stephen Harefield. And are you there, Dr. Harefield?
Yes, I am, and it's a pleasure to be here.
I'm really glad to have you here. I'm going to introduce you a little bit, but if I miss a beat here, feel free to chime in and correct me. But I understand you got about 37 years of research, which has led you all over the world. And it sounds like your search started while you were in the military during the Vietnam War. Is that true?
Yeah, but it also led me into the walls of a monastery.
Right, a Zen Buddhist monastery in Quang Nai. Is that how you say that?
God bless your heart. You're the only woman that's never been there that can say it right.
Can you tell I have some friends who are vets from the Vietnam War?
God bless them, too. Welcome home, guys.
Yeah, no kidding. And it sounds like even though you were in a Zen Buddhist monastery that you ended up exploring the life and times of Jesus.
Yeah, actually I did. That was one of those seeming coincidences that led me into India and Nepal. And when I got into India, I was told by my soon-to-be teachers that I was there to learn about an individual named Isha. And Isha, I found out later, was their interpretation of the name Jesus. But yeah. Mm-hmm.
Awesome. You got a Bachelor of the Arts in Psychology, and then eventually went on to get a Master's in Religion and Theology, and then you got your Doctorate in Metaphysics, right?
Yes, ma'am. I
studied Zen and Tibetan monks. I'm not going to say this word right. I'm sure Ishaya monks.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I said it right. Boy,
you
I'm
got it again. I mean, I'm amazed.
I don't know, man. I think I just took a breath and fell into this interview tonight. That always works better than trying to think about it too much.
Doesn't it? It's those soothing, wafting scent of the oils in the tub that bring us to a level of groundedness,
There you go.
Yeah.
And let's see, you've also studied Cree and Blackfoot Native American traditions.
Yes, ma'am.
You're a Reiki master.
Mm-hmm.
You spent some time living as a monk while you were studying with the monks, right?
Yes, ma'am. 4 years.
Wow.
Living in the halls of a monastery.
What, were you abstinent during that time?
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm.
This is a show about sex, so I get to ask questions
hey,
like that. Isn't
you know
that
what?
Fun?
I know when my publicist said, Stephen, are you sure you want to do this show? And I went, you know what? The body is a beautiful thing, and if we don't use that to experience our lives, then we're missing the whole point.
Well, good for you. Good for you, and boo on your publicist. No.
Hey, I'll let Catherine know tomorrow. No, actually, she's probably listening, so she
already knows. You know what? It's wise to give it a second thought, but I will tell you now, I'm not the psychic you are, but I have a feeling that we are going to see the pendulum swing the other way here, at least for a while, where people are going to be taking a more liberal stance on issues in general, but sex in particular.
I hope so.
It's time.
I mean, life is about expression, and I think that's the epitome of expression from the heart.
Well, there is no life without sex, and that's the bottom line. I wish people would, you know, get on board for that. It's like, I'm sorry you got a problem with sex, but it's the only reason you're sucking air.
You know what? We were founded by Puritans, and I think to a great degree we still live by the ancestral technology of that mindset. That's what
we do, and
yeah.
And the rest of the planet's passed us up a long time ago.
Oh, and you know what? If everybody in this country decided to go somewhere else and look around, they'd find something different, and that's for sure.
Yeah. No, they would, and it's kind of sad. This country's way behind, but, you know, if we can start bringing sex out of the closet, maybe we can do something about the population explosion, teen pregnancies, and AIDS. That'd be really cool.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you would say that, because I think the inhibitions of the world, or at least this part of the world, are the very reason for a lot of those.
I do, too. And see, what's of interest to me, one of the reasons that I was keen to interview you is because that you've just recently been selected by the Edgar Cayce Foundation.
Yes.
Through their Association of Research and Enlightenment as one of their few intuitives.
Yes.
Which apparently are the most tested intuitives in the world.
Yes.
And I actually spent a year working on a screenplay about the life and times of Edgar Cayce. And I was working with a screenwriter by the name of James D'Alessandro. He wrote a book called 1906 and a couple of other books. And he's written quite a few screenplays, but so far they haven't made it to the big screen. They just buy them up.
You'll get there. You just have to be patient. which is not one of your traits.
Oh, ow. Okay, I'm going to be taking notes.
Okay, uh-oh, I heard the pen come out. I heard the click.
I did. Be patient. Not one of your strong points.
No, it's not.
It's not. I'm an Aries. What do you expect?
Oh, my God. Okay, that's cool.
Yeah. So, how does one become an Edgar Cayce psychic? I can't say those words together, obviously.
Well, they put you through a lot of hoops, a lot of tests, and I found them intriguing and interesting. I mean, how do you test a psychic that knows what the end result is of the test before you even get there? That was the first question I asked them, and I remember them smiling. What they want to know is, are you valid? Are you real? Are you genuine in what you do? And because I love people, that comes through invariably. I think people are the neatest thing, since life. I mean, we're what makes life what it is. But when they test you, they, how do you explain it? A stranger calls you from out of the blue and says, hi, this is who I am, tell me about me, and you do. And the next person sends you a series of envelopes in the mail and says, tell me what's in these envelopes before you look at them, and you do. And you have to receive what they term as an excellent rating, and I guess I did, because I am one of those people.
Wow. And so they actually test you before
Sure. Absolutely.
Wow.
It's a very testable phenomena if an organization knows what they're doing. I mean, the field of the physical sciences can't do it because they test physical mind, and that's not what intuitive sense is all about. Intuitive sense is, what do you feel? I mean, you're nothing intended, a lovely lady, but extremely analytical, very hyper mind, one that has to know absolutes. So tell me when I'm wrong, okay?
Okay, keep going. Well, okay, the absolute thing. Can you go into that a little bit more? Because I'm not sure I'm on board for that one.
Well, you're a very cut and dry person, and when you look at things, this is how it is, or this is how it is not. So you kind of put things in a category for your own mind, and it suits you well. But I would tend to say, when it comes to relationship, it can create conflict.
Probably because of being rigid around how I think it should be done.
And that's basically what it comes down to, how you think it should be done. And that's intended, a great lady, but it's like... hey, you do things differently than I do. I do things differently than you do. You need that flexibility. In fact, you demand it. Bless your heart. And you don't want other people to. Nothing erroneous about that, but it can create conflict.
Okay, this call's over. Goodbye.
I love the laugh. It's like, oh, damn.
I'm done talking to you.
Okay. Nice being on the show. Good to be here. See you later.
How many people hang up on you?
Probably because of what I just did. No, and actually, the fun thing for me is I love people, and I do this with people literally all over the world. Shanghai, China, St. Petersburg, Russia. And the interesting one is China. I mean, gosh, go figure.
I'm actually very impressed because with my background, mm-hmm. It usually takes people a few tries to get that hit on me because they're busy thinking, oh, she's creative, she's written a book, and she's a free spirit because she's done porn.
You're not. You're so rigid. You want some spray starch? Only kidding. I realize this is your show and I enjoy being here. But no, I mean, you're flexible. That's true. You are an adventurer. That's true. But you do have your qualifications on it.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah,
I feel like I'm on a mission here, and I don't like to be sidetracked with nonsense.
And I would buy that in a skinny minute. So everybody out there that thinks you know Veronica, keep your change in your pocket.
You don't.
And you better be exact.
Analytical. How did you come up with that? That is actually one of my strong points, but that doesn't usually show up.
Because you're very cerebral. I get that.
And what do you mean by hyper mind?
Extremely active mind.
Yeah, what do I do about that? I have such a hard time with meditation.
That's because you're too busy thinking.
Yeah,
duh.
I got that, but I mean, okay, I got this brain.
The idea of meditation is to free your mind of thought. Learn to keep your mind right behind your eyeballs, and you do very well. Wherever your eyes look, make sure your mind and thought is right there. And that's the essence of meditation in reality. I mean, it's that simple. Oh, wait, it can't be that simple. Yes, it can.
Okay.
It is.
No, I like that. With my eyes.
Yeah. Wherever your eyes look, this makes sure that wonderful mind is right there focused on what you're looking at.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's easier when I'm looking at my dog than when I'm looking at anything else. Maybe I should meditate on dog.
Okay. I picked up a lot of other stuff.
Did you?
I ain't going there.
Interesting.
You have an adventuresome mind, and that's a neat thing. Allow it to be an adventuresome mind and thought. That's okay. That's acceptable, without question. But learn to focus it on one thing at a time.
Focus on one thing at a time. You better be gentle with me. You're going to scare the callers off, and nobody's going to even call in.
I am extremely gentle. I'm a very loving and kind person. I mean, life is to be lived and to be experienced. And you know what? All you callers out there, if you're afraid, it's your own insecurity. Face that.
Face that. And by the way, callers, I am not going to accept fast chats tonight because I want you to actually call in so that Dr. Harefield can listen to your voice, and I'm sure he'd be happy to answer questions for you or give you some feedback on whatever's up for you tonight.
Sure.
Our numbers, toll-free here in the U.S., it's 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. And if you're in Canada, you can call toll-free at 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Okay, so until somebody calls in, I'm just going to hog you all to myself.
Please. I like being hogged.
I really should mention your books and DVDs since we're like the third in here.
Yeah, sure.
You've got something called Return to Innocence.
Uh-huh.
Messages from the Ancients.
Yes, ma'am.
And that's a spiritual guide to a better way of living. And how the original messages were shifted from their original intention of the universe to an external physical reality. I'm not following that. Can you explain that?
Sure. I think to a great degree, Veronica, everybody has a wonderful level of innocence. I think to another degree, we have an insecurity of showing it. When I talk about return to innocence, it's about moving away from people's judgmental minds. It's like sex is taboo. It's like intimacy is an ugly thing. The body is ugly. Excuse me, it's a work of art. So it's stepping into the paradigm of understanding yourself and your relationship to life is the quickest way I would explain it.
Okay, so return to innocence.
It's not about being naive. That's a totally different concept.
No, I the emotional hit I got off of what you just said, because I think it went right over the top of my head, but emotionally it just seemed kind of like childlike.
Yes, it is. It's about childlike wonder. Remember when, you know what's really neat is when you go to a beach and you see that little child yanking their clothes off and running around naked, and they don't know any difference about it. And as we grow in years, we're taught all sorts of things about it. And to me, it's a childlike wonder in the approach to life. I think that's the key. I think that's one of the magnificent things that we're all capable of.
You also wrote a book called Metaphysical Interpretation of the Bible?
Yes, ma'am.
Now, how does this differ from, Jesus and the Lost Goddess? You may or may not have read the book, but there are other books out there about metaphysics. Have you studied the other books out there to kind of get some idea how you compare? Or?
Well, what I've actually done, Veronica, is I've spent the last 37,306 years, not really.
How many past life regressions have you done?
I'm still in the first one.
Do you believe in past lives?
Totally.
Okay.
There's no question. I talk to the other side all the time. It's like when I go into a hospital, it's like I'm a phone booth, phone home type thing. And it's actually difficult. But I've spent many years of my life studying ancient texts. And I've gone back as far as 5,000-year-old texts. And I've done comparisons between those and what the biblical texts say. And what I offer in my newest book is here's what you're being shown. It's more of an understanding of you, your relationship to life, how to achieve consciousness, if that is what one seeks. And here's the most efficient route to do it. But that's, in essence, what I've done. Mm-hmm. I just love people.
Do people often feel like they're going to cry when they're talking to you?
Sometimes, yes.
Huh?
Sometimes, yes.
What's that about? Because I'm getting very emotional listening to you.
Truth. I was taught as a monk to be able to talk with people on four levels. That's your mental level, your physical level, your emotional level, and a soul level all at one time. It's just your ability to express what you feel. And the neat thing about you is you're actually very free with what you feel. And I think that's one of the beauties of you.
That's interesting.
Well, still truth.
So my mother, she said something to me a few weeks ago, because somebody had read something I had written and said, there's no filling in this. And I thought, my God, I was channeling so much filling, I thought I was going to burst when I was writing this particular thing. And I called my mother up for, you know, what mothers do, tell you that you're okay. And she said, oh, honey, she says, I've never wanted to say anything because I don't want to hurt your feelings, but that's all you're about.
But that is true. You're a very sensitive individual. And could be extremely intuitive if you didn't personalize it.
So you think I'm personalizing?
It's like all of a sudden your moods change, your emotions change. They get heavy, and all of a sudden you decide to get heavy. So in other words, you get involved in it. My suggestion to you would be is if there's no immediate reason for what you're feeling, don't analyze it, because you can. I mean, and you do that quite well. So if there's no immediate idea, let's say your mood goes right into, for whatever reason, sadness. If there's no predominant immediate reason for that sadness, it doesn't belong to you. It belongs to somebody else. Because you have been on an emotional roller coaster.
That's one of the reasons I'm living up in the woods, to tell you the truth. I felt like I couldn't tune out all that stuff.
Well, you know, life is a mini-splintered thing.
A mini-splintered?
Yeah, woods, splinters, you know. Okay.
Oh,
that's all right. Too bad.
All right. Stick with what you know.
Well, no. You're up there in the woods because, one, the trees are healing for you, and it's a very soothing thing for you, as it should be. The next thing is just be aware of what you personalize. That's a high level of sensitivity, and you can get caught in that.
Yeah,
I
would wait until like 4 o'clock in the morning to write because I couldn't tune out what was going on in my household. Then I start feeling like I couldn't tune out what was going on in the world. Like if it was Friday, everybody's energy was so intense, even though I was sitting in my home alone,
mm-hmm.
that I couldn't tune it out to write.
Mm-hmm.
So I found that when I moved up to the woods, I didn't feel like I had as many fluctuations, and I felt more like I was centered with myself.
Yeah. And that is your thing. I mean, that's the reason you moved into the woods, actually, is to get away from everybody. It's because of the high level of sensitivity that you do have. For Virgo, it's actually very good. Nothing intended, by the way.
For a Virgo, that's good.
Yeah. Well, no, Virgos, I mean, you know, they got to be in their head, they got to figure it out, they got to get to the bottom, yada, yada. And you can do that. And what I'm suggesting to you is if there's no immediate and apparent reason for what you're feeling,
right.
don't even bother to go there. One of the things I love to share with people is when I do an intuitive session with a person, I'm actually talking with them about everything that makes no sense to me. Because if it makes sense to me, then it belongs to me.
I do some of that with my clients, too. So I'm sure I'm not as good at it as you are, but I do understand the concept.
It's not about being as equal to or less than. I think you're very good at what you do, especially when it comes to other people, because you did come into this world to heal, and that's what you do the best at.
Thank you.
That's just the truth.
I needed that, though.
Really?
Yes, I did, because I've been... I'm just easily derailed by people close to me who have opinions.
Remember the old idea of opinions. There are many in Washington, and they power the global warming of our climate. Indeed. So just accept those opinions. It's just one of the things that most of us don't realize is that when people... albeit in the idea of kindness, when people offer opinions, they offer it through the filters of their own experience. What that means is if you and I go outside and look at a beautiful pink rose, we're going to see two different things. Why? Because you have different experience than I do. So when a friend comes to you and says, "This is what I see," they're coming through, "This has been my experience. I haven't had your experience, but this is mine. So I'm offering you my food for thought about your life." Now let me ask you something. Of what value is that, really?
If people aren't able to detach from their own triggers, it's not worth a lot to me.
Okay, so when your friends say to you this, that, or the other, and you respond to their triggers, now I have a question for you. Veronica,
yeah.
who's in control?
Do you know what? So the thing that goes on in my head always is that this person might have known me for a decade or two,
mm-hmm.
and I'll think, well, of all the people, you know, my fans say nice things to me all the time, I think I should be listening to the people who maybe have been around me enough to know that I've got, you know, some sides of me they don't care for, but they still love me, but there's things about me, you know, that aren't so sweet. I would think their feedback would be more valuable, so I try not to have a quick reflex to just discount that kind of feedback, even But, okay, so the problem I have is that, why don't you tell me?
I don't know if there's a, first off, I don't believe in anything such as a coincidence or an accident. I believe that everything happens for a reason.
Right.
I would listen to a stranger more than I would somebody that knows me. Because the stranger is going to go by a very first impression and not one that they've known for 10 years. Let me give you an example of that, if I might. Let's say that you know a person that for years was a heavy drinker and you considered them an alcoholic.
Yes.
And all of a sudden they disappear. You haven't seen them for years.
Yes.
And all of a sudden you're walking in the street and coming up the sidewalk towards you is this person. What's your first impression?
They're an alcoholic.
Yes, ma'am. What if they aren't? You see, because we get in our judgment of people, and as a monk, I was taught a long time ago that that's not the best course, because when we look at people, we look at them through what we think. Now here, I'm going to say this, what we think we know about them, and what we know about them, and what we think we know about them, comes through our filters. Our filters are based on our experience, not yours. See, I have no right to tell you one way or the other what you should not do, what you can, cannot do. None of that is any of my business. If you ask me what I think, then this individual will offer you very literally what he thinks, but it has nothing to do with a judgment and or an opinion about you or about what you do, because that's not my job, that's not my function. And more times than not, it's jaded. It's shaped by what I like or what I don't like. Here's the funny thing, Veronica. If there's no such thing as a coincidence and everything happens for a reason, of what value is my opinion of you? None. So, I just simply won't offer it. If you want to know what I think, I'll share it.
Okay, so I guess I don't quite understand how that feedback fits into the idea that we do go to professionals. I mean, like I'm consulting with you right now on the air.
Mm-hmm.
Would you call that an opinion?
No, I'm just offering you my what I'm actually sensing and feeling about you. I don't know you. I wouldn't recognize you on the street.
Right.
If I walked up to you, is it a professional idea? If you so choose. That's your determination. If it's valid and it fits you, I would say hear it. If there's no positive feel about it, look, why would an alcoholic, and here's a trippy thing to me, why would an alcoholic or a drug addict go to a therapist that's never had a drug or alcohol problem? Does that make any sense to you?
Well, I could tell you, as a recovered alcoholic addict, they're pretty worthless.
Okay, thank you. Wonderful.
If I want to get sober, I'll go to an AA meeting and talk to another drunk.
Okay, somebody who's been there and done that is the point.
Absolutely.
Okay, all right.
Absolutely.
But
why I'm a sex educator, Dr. Harefield, because I've been there and done it.
And you've had fun while you were doing it. And you learned and you realized some things about...
Well, I have you know, the academic stuff ticked off, too, but... The point that, to me, is that all this hands-on experience is just going to waste because people have so much shame.
And shame goes back for probably 200 years, which is the founding idea of this country. You know, I got to share something in all sincerity with you. I don't think there's anything more magnificent than the human body. We talk about the seven natural wonders of the world, and the trippy thing to me is they forget the most important one of all, which is the eighth, and it should be ranked first, and that's the human. That's you, that's me, that's any listener that you have out there. That's how magnificent we as people are.
I agree. Speaking of our listeners, Dr. Harefield, he seems to be the real deal, guys. I want you to call up and take him for a spin.
So far,
it made me blush, made me feel like crying, and made me feel like hanging up. So,
I've always wanted to be a Ferrari, so hey, cool.
Our toll-free number in the United States is 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. And if you're in Canada, you can call us for free at 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. So I have been dying to ask you something for as long as I've had you booked to do this show.
Sure.
And I'm not entirely sure if you even answer questions like this. But
I'll answer anything you ask.
And I don't know how much information you need or want. So I'm just going to start off with the bare bones question, and you tell me what else you need or want.
Sure.
I had a dog. Her name was Shekinah.
Mm-hmm.
She was hit by a car and died at 10 minutes of 7 p.m. on February 18th of this year. Before she died, she had a very full sex life, and the very first time that she had penetrative sex, she stopped what she was doing right in the middle of it, ran over to me, stood up on her hind legs, put her front paws on my shoulders so that she could achieve eye contact with me, looked deep into my soul, and yelled something. I mean, it was not barking, it was screaming. And I don't know what it was.
Give me one moment. There's a variety of things going on here. This creature was very expressive with you anyway. It was more about freeing you. This is weird. Forgive me, but this is more about freeing you from levels of guilt from your earlier years in life. Like I said, that's weird.
For you, not for me.
Okay.
Freeing you from levels of guilt in your
early years of life.
Life.
Yeah, childhood type stuff.
Childhood.
In fact, I would tend to say that's what she came into your life for, is to free you from that. And you know what? She did it. So you should be grateful.
I am.
Good.
I am.
So was that enough information?
Well, I got tears in my eyes.
Good. That's just, no, but no, that's actually part of it. When I say good, that's about freeing you from it. We as humans are amazing. I mean, it's like hindsight is more important than foresight. It's like what's going on in back of us is, you know, I tend to love to humorously share with people, it's probably more fun than going down the freeway at 70 looking over your shoulder while you're doing it than it is by watching where you're going. Because I think that's what most people do. We're living in that past, and that's not... It's relevant to the extent of the gifts it gave us, like your puppy. She gave you some wonderful gifts. She gave you some wonderful times. Remember those. Those are the focus. Those are the ideas that she gave you. That's the main thing.
I have another question for you.
Yes, ma'am.
Since you believe in reincarnation, I want
totally.
To test something out here.
Uh-oh.
Do you have any sense of where she may have gone or what she may be doing? Or do you even have, if you don't have a sense, do you have an opinion about what happens to animals after they die? Or is there anything you can do
that? Same as it happens with humans. She'll be back in your life before you get out of this one. She will return to you and you will recognize her by her eyes. And also, this is going to be weird, and also by her smile. You'll see her again.
Okay. Turning me into a complete mess here.
Well.
Okay.
I'm the guest. You're the host.
Yeah. Oh, I'm in the driver's seat. I don't know, man. You're a very powerful person.
Thanks. I just love people.
I had a dream, and I thought it was about her. do you ever listen to people's dreams?
Yeah, totally. Dreams should always be interpreted by right brain, not left brain. If you got to analyze it, then you're probably off base.
Okay.
Sure, throw your dream at me.
I dreamt that I was putting, I have a new dog now, and Blanco was Shakina's lover. He's still with me. So Blanco and I and my new dog, Amelie, were getting in the back of the truck. I drive an SUV. And suddenly to my right appears, funny you say right, by the way, because every time I get a sense of Shakina, she comes in to my right.
She should.
She came in to the right in the dream, and I was like, "Oh, you can't be her. She's died." And I was like, "No, I am her." And so then I did. I feel her belly. I think that was where I always felt her energy was in her solar plexus chakra.
Uh-huh.
So I touched her belly, and I went, "Oh my God, it is you!" And then I immediately tried to put a leash and a collar on her, and I was going to put her in the truck and take her home. And she says, "No, I don't want to go home. I'm happy where I'm at."
Yes.
And then she turned into a man who was living homeless outside of a Buddhist monastery.
Outside of a Buddhist monastery. Go figure.
Yeah.
<That's>
Indeed, go figure.
That's an interesting.
And I was like, "I don't understand why you want to be a homeless man, and why are you a man? You were female." And I was like, "Well, I'm on a spiritual journey. Leave me alone."
Actually, the message that was really being delivered to you was, in essence, this: that you were engaged with a master. I would tend to think that your puppy was also that individual. And it's attempting to awaken you to higher things. Nothing intended other than to what you have between your legs.
I'm sorry, awaken me to higher things?
Other than what you have between your legs. Hello?
Well, I don't know. It sounds like a judgment about what's between my legs.
No. There's no judgment at all. At least that's not my intention. The power of you comes from your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Is my point, and it was only intended as some kind of demented humor, I guess. But the real power of you as an individual, Veronica, is in the middle of your chest. And I think that's what
I'm well aware of that, by the way.
Right.
I don't spend that much time living between my legs, so I really didn't understand your comment.
Well, it's just, like I said, just a level of humor, that's all. And maybe that's more for the audience. The power of the human is actually in the middle of our chest. It's our heart. And I think that's what you're feeling, and that's what you're being reminded of, without question, without hesitation. Certain.
And are you suggesting that my dog might have also been a master?
Yes, no question.
So do we sometimes come back into animal form?
We can, depending on what we are going to appeal to. If I say the word spirit guide, you know what that is?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We have spirit guides. We have totems. And a lot of times, the best way that spirit guide or totem can affect us is by actually being in our life as literally that totem, i.e. a wolf, coyote, crow, you know, whatever the case may be, depending on the pets that you have. And she was very moving to you, extremely gentle. I mean, you two communicated very well on a variety of levels, without hesitation, without question. You had a direct link with this creature.
And she felt like a soulmate.
Yes.
She really did.
That's the reason I say teacher.
Yeah, I felt like we had a communication that went way beyond body language and words.
It was eye contact. That's the reason I shared with you that when she returns, you will recognize her by her eyes. without hesitation. I mean, this animal had a very piercing look when it came to you.
She did.
She knew what you were thinking. She knew what you were feeling constantly, without hesitation. Oh, yeah. She knew where Veronica was.
Yes, she did. She was always waiting for me when I came home.
Yes, ma'am.
And it didn't matter what time of day it was. It didn't matter how long I had been gone.
And she did not judge you. She just totally accepted you for no matter what you were doing and what you were about. Yes, ma'am. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
No question of that.
So you mentioned totem animals
mm-hmm.
and spirit guides.
Yes, ma'am.
And when I first moved up here into the woods, I had a cougar encounter.
Whoa, good for you.
Cougar came within about 35 feet of me, and Shekinah and I were alone. She's the dog that's passed on.
Uh-huh.
And Shekinah was just a little puppy. She never even saw it. And the cougar came up from behind us, and I felt eyes in the back of my head, and I turned around, and I saw that this cougar was coming up on us for God knows what reason, and it scared the heck out of me. Do you have any intuitive hits about that?
More one of learning your higher senses for you, because notice the cougar did nothing. It wasn't there for harm. It was more one of bringing alertness into you. It was more about you remembering your feline sense, is what I would say. To incorporate that energy into your life, is what I would say. You have to understand, canine energy is masculine by its very nature. And when the cougar showed up, it was more about reacquainting you to the truth of you.
That's interesting you say that, because I have insisted to my friends that it was a female cougar, and I have no idea why I am so insistent about that.
You know, so many people, when they're in a female body, they're in a male body, they don't want to totally acknowledge the sexuality of the body that they have. A variety of reasons for that. Your thing when you came into this life was to learn to balance all of those energies so you could be the most effective with people. So I think because of your attachment with the canine, the cougar is not that much of a surprise at all.
You see this more as about balance.
Yes. Life is only about balance. And the only way we learn balance is through imbalance. And that's the reason we're seeing so much in the way of imbalance in today's society.
That's very interesting that you say life is only about balance, because I don't think I've ever gone that far, but I definitely believe that seems to be the only really consistent message we get over and over and over again.
Over and over and over again. And I'm going to share this with you. When we look at today's present society, it is so far out of whack. We can get into the stock market, we can get into the government, we can get into all sorts of stuff, but we're not going to. It's all about showing that we've created systems, that the systems are now in control. It's like the idea of hell. Hell is now in control. And what it's about is us reestablishing balance within our own individual natures. And we're going to do that sooner or later. And we have to do that by the realization that we are, if you will, out of balance.
What do you think do you have an opinion about what's going to happen in 2012?
Absolutely.
What would that opinion be?
Let's just say when we look at the world today, we're seeing the awakening or the birthing of the divine. We're seeing a birthing process going on. The idea of 2012 is awakening to our higher nature. Every ancient text I've ever studied points to that.
So you don't, does that mean that there's going to be an end to this planet, or?
No, I don't. If the idea of infinity is true, then that means there can be no end. Because if there's any end anywhere, then that means infinity is an illusion. And everything points to infinite being, infinite consciousness, infinite reality. I think what happens is even if you look at the idea of the Book of Revelation, the very last chapter says that we go into a period of where there's absolutely no darkness, which means full consciousness, full understanding, and full enlightenment. And I think we're headed right at that. You know, Veronica.
Yes.
When we look at our world and we see storms, I mean, do you remember Ike? When it came through, it covered virtually 90% of the Caribbean. No storm has ever been seen by human mind of that size. I mean, they're talking about the average hurricane, the eye wall being roughly 60 miles wide. Ike was 225 miles wide, the eye wall. So what's the point? That defied comprehension. The beauty of every time our comprehension is defied is this. We are able to comprehend greater and greater things because our mind has been expanded. And I think that's really what we're seeing. Every time an event occurs which defies our comprehension, it actually expands our ability to realize. And as we expand our ability to realize, we become greater beings. And I think that's what's going on.
Hopefully we can expand our awareness and our ability to realize some things more positive than a huge hurricane.
Oh, well, no, I just use that as an example to attempt to show a positive of the result of the hurricane, not the devastation of it.
No, I got that.
And as long as we are able to step into that higher realm and allow that expansion to take place, then the hurricane ultimately is totally irrelevant.
Hmm.
I mean, whatever the case may be, whether it's the stock market, whether it's the ability of the individual, all of that is just allowing us to step into a higher paradigm of humankind. And that's what I think we're seeing in our reality today.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. So it sounds to me like you're suggesting that even extremes that we perceive as being negative are showing that our brains are expanding.
Yes, ma'am. Totally. There's no question. Absolutely no question. Because, you see, to me, there's nothing right. There's nothing wrong. There's no problem. Everything is happening precisely, exactly the way that it's supposed to. Everything is on target. Everything is exactly on time in every way, shape, and form. The universe knows exactly what it's doing. Yes, ma'am.
Hmm. Well, I hope you're right.
You know, everything is pointing us in that direction. I've studied ancient texts now for going on 37 years, and so far the ancient text has been absolutely right on the money. And what they're postulating for us. It all depends on how we decide we want to interpret it. And that's really all.
What do you... we've got just a few minutes left here. And what would you like my listeners to know about you and your services? Or, you do lectures and workshops, right?
All over the world.
Do you work with people one-on-one like you
yes,
have
I
with
do.
Me tonight?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I do. I think the greatest thing I'd like for people to know and understand is that we're a lot greater than what we think. We were born into perfection. We were intended to expand into perfection. And that we are, when we open our true hearts to life, we experience the greatest part of ourselves. When we hold ourselves from life because of our previous experience, and what we've really done is we've anchored ourselves into our own past and not allowing ourselves to live today, I guess is what I would say.
Oh, yeah, beautifully put.
Thank you.
How can people contact you? And but before you give your contact information, again, do you do sessions over the phone?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I've done sessions for people as far away as Shanghai, China, St. Petersburg, Russia, which to me is impressive just because of the concepts we have of those different parts of the world.
Absolutely.
And I find them very wonderful and fascinating people. When if somebody wants an intuitive session, they want to understand their lives and where they're going, You can just go to my website, and you can get the details. Just click on counseling, and you can find out what I'm about.
And that website, again, we need to tell people, is www.hairfield. That's spelled just like the hair on your head, And just like a field of corn.com.
Bless your heart. Yeah, you're the only one other than me that's ever said it that way.
Hey, I think that's the third time.
Hey, I'm going to tell you, third time's a charm, isn't it? But, that's the easiest way to find me. But if you really would like to understand your life and your circumstances, then please give me a call. I'm not a psychic hotline. That's not what I do. I don't take what I do seriously, but I do take what I do genuinely, and it's my desire to open any individual that talks with me to themselves. And if I can do that, then I've done my job. It's about awakening people to their higher dynamics and their higher selves, and every one of us have it. You've been surrounded by it, even with you being out in the trees. That's why you're there, because the healing energy of the trees. And why you like wildlife. Really, the truth of that is because they don't talk back. Well, they do, but not with words. You know what I mean?
Why I like wildlife, because they don't talk back, huh?
Not with words. They're just very expressive, they're open, and they're honest, and they don't condemn or judge. They just accept.
I love the open and honest part of wildlife, yes, I do. I also love the fact that they just are.
And you know what? Humans are getting there, finally. And that's the beautiful part of where we are in the history of the world now, is we're soon going to match our counterparts in the wilderness. And we're going to realize the best way to live is to be free of any confining thoughts of mind, which we could construe as levels of inhibition, because it's the belief system of mind that confines us to where we are. It keeps us from the greatest part of who we can be.
Well, not that it matters, but I agree with you.
It does matter. And I'm going to go out and howl at the moon tonight if I can find it.
If you can find me. I'm not sure it's out yet.
Well, hey, you know, the moon will always be there sooner or later.
Sooner or later it will. I think it's going to come out in time for Halloween.
Hey, All Hallows Eve. There's another reason to go enjoy oneself.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule. I hope that being on the Shame-Free Zone has been a positive for your career and not a negative.
Hey. You know what? I think relationships with anybody is always a positive. If anybody wants to find a negative in anything, that's an easy thing to do.
Yes, it is.
But you know what? Sharing oneself from the soul is the greatest thing we all can do. And that's the beauty of observing an animal. And you know what? That's the beauty of being on the show with you this evening, and I'd like to come back.
I'd love to have you back. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thanks.
Okay. Good night, Dr. Hairfield.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Veronica Monet offers help, healing, and hope in the form of private telephone sessions. Email veronica@sexwithoutshame.com to schedule an appointment, or visit www.sexwithoutshame.com to find out what Veronica can do for you.